So this morning we are beginning a series for the new year on the first part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. And I'd like to invite you now to hear the words of Jesus at the very beginning of what many believe is the greatest sermon ever preached. Hear the word of the Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Once again this morning, we've included some teaching notes to go along with this message on this nice yellow insert. And I invite you to follow along and write things down as you feel God is calling you to do. Well, the new year is upon us. And at the beginning of every new year, there is time to look back at the year past. But more importantly, it's time to plan for the future. And a lot of people, as they're planning for the new year, will make New Year's resolutions. How many of you have made a New Year's resolution? Well, just about the same percentage as the first service, almost no one. So I came across this article that listed the 10 most common New Year's resolutions of 2019, and it also said that only about 25% of the people who made them kept them past the end of January last year. And these probably won't surprise you. I'll go through them rather quickly. But number one, by far, and number two, first was eat healthy, second, exercise more. Number three, save money or spend less. Number four, learn something new. Number five, quit smoking. Number six, read more. Seven, get a new job. Eight, drink less. And I don't think they're talking about drinking water. Number nine, spend more time with family and friends. And number 10, get organized. Now, as we think about the resolutions that people make as we begin the new year, I want to focus during these next several weeks on the vision that Jesus gave. The vision that Jesus gave us for a happy life in what we know as the Beatitudes. And it's interesting that Jesus chooses in the Sermon on the Mount to begin by giving us these eight keys to a happy life. And you will notice as we go through this series together that the keys Jesus gives us to a happy life are very different from the picture of happiness that the world so often gives us. And this is true even of the very first of the Beatitudes that we're looking at today. The first key to a happy life, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? The word used here in the Greek for core is the word potokos. It's an ugly word. Say that with me. Potokos. It means desperately poor. It means poverty so deep, so chronic, that the person who is potokos doesn't expect things ever to get better. Now, most of us do not really comprehend this kind of poverty. We may have seen pictures of the potokos in countries ravaged by earthquake or flood or famine or war. Some of us have met some of the potokos on mission trips. If we've gone to places of deep poverty, perhaps in the third world or somewhere in this country. And we have seen the numbers of the potokos growing on our city streets. There are millions of desperately poor people in this world. What does Jesus mean when he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit"? Well, he's telling us that just as the potokos long for clean water and food, so those who are poor in spirit hunger and thirst for God. Just as the potokos seek shelter and medical care, so the poor in spirit yearn for God as their refuge and strength. Just as the potokos depend on the generosity of others to survive, the poor in spirit depend on the grace of God for their very lives. To be poor in spirit, as it says in number 2 in your notes, means I humbly depend on God instead of myself. I am poor in spirit when I depend on God and not myself, moment by moment and day by day. When I depend on God and not myself, Jesus says, I find true happiness. And this morning, I want to give you briefly 5 practical ways that you and I can depend on God. 5 ways the Bible says that we can, in poor in spirit, that we can humbly depend on God. The first one, I depend on God's wisdom, not mine. God's wisdom, not mine. Now, God wants you and me to be wise. God wants us to make good decisions with the way we use our time, what we do with the talent God has given us, how we use the money. God wants us to make good decisions about our relationships and everything else in day-to-day life. And one of the most important ways that we can seek God's wisdom according to the Bible is to pray. That scripture there from James chapter 1 tells us this. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you. Now notice that God gives wisdom to all. And in your notes, you might circle the word generously, and you might circle the word ungrudgingly. In other words, everyone who asks God in prayer will receive wisdom. This makes us realize that God is waiting on us. That God is saying, hey, I'm here to guide you through your days. If only you would ask. Now, how do you know if you're depending on God's wisdom and not your own? Well, you know it if you're talking to God throughout the day. And if you're reading God's word on a daily basis. You're taking everything to God in prayer. The big things, the little things, always, everywhere, in every circumstance. God gives to all generously and ungrudgingly. And you know you're depending on God's wisdom when you're becoming deeply rooted in God's Word. In your notes, it says this: God's wisdom and God's will are in God's Word. Now, each week you'll find in our weekly bulletin scripture readings for each day that go along with our sermon themes. And also there's a nice brochure out in the lobby area that you can pick up from the table, and it has those readings listed for the whole way through this series, January and February. And we want to encourage you to set apart some time every day and take those few verses and let them speak into your life. This is very important. One of our core values as a congregation is that every one of us would become lifelong learners, that we would be people who seek God's wisdom and God's will as we are in God's Word every day. And if you're not in God's Word, if you're not taking everything to the Lord in prayer, then you're relying on your own wisdom. And oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. One way I humbly depend on God and not myself is by depending on God's wisdom. Secondly, to be poor in spirit means that I depend on God's strength, not mine. I depend on God's strength, not my own. You know, some of you might be feeling pretty tired this morning, and not just because you stayed up late last night watching a football game. The demands of day-to-day life can wear us down. In the mornings from my study window, I often watch as parents and grandparents are bringing the preschoolers into Little Friends. And I notice that some of them just look exhausted. Not the kids, the parents and the grandparents. And it reminds me how wonderful little ones are, but how exhausting it can be, parenting, grandparenting from day to day. And then also, I think of older folks. I mean, we've got a lot of octogenarians in our church. That's somebody 80 and older. People who every day deal with aches and pains. And it's exhausting for some just to get up for another day. And when there's some trouble in your life, it can be exhausting too. In fact, some may feel like some days they just want to stay in bed and pull the covers overhead. A verse that's really been important to me when I feel the need in difficult times for God's strength is this verse from Isaiah chapter 40. And I'd like if we could read this one together. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In the darkest moments of your life, you need God's strength to get you through. Last Sunday, Pastor John talked to us about Corrie Ten Boom, the woman in the granny shoes that he got to hear speak way back when he was at Messiah College as a student. Hers was a remarkable story of healing and forgiveness. As a young woman, Corrie survived a Nazi concentration camp. Her mom and dad, her sister, did not survive. And in spite of the horrendous suffering she endured, Corrie became a powerful witness for Christ all over the world. And Corrie was not able to do this by relying on her own strength, but by humbly depending from day to day God's strength. Now, I'm thinking that if Corrie Ten Boom can find strength to forgive and to move on after all that she went through, how much more can you and I find strength in our troubles if we humbly depend on God's strength. Here's a short verse to carry with you today from Psalm 71. I like the Living Translation of this. I walk in the strength of the Lord. That's an easy verse to memorize, isn't it? Say that with me. I walk in the strength of the Lord. When your to-do list seems overwhelming, just say that. I walk in the strength of the Lord. When you're facing a hard conversation, say, I walk in the strength of the Lord. When you're tempted to sin, I walk in the strength of the Lord. When you're hurting, I walk in the strength of the Lord. The poor in spirit are those who humbly depend on God for wisdom and humbly depend on God for strength. And then here's a third practical way to depend on God in your day-to-day life. Depend on God's timing, not your own. Wow. God's timing, not mine. How many of you enjoy waiting? Anybody like to wait? Our human nature and the culture around us wants everything in an instant. Now, I'm sure this has happened to you. Maybe it even happened to you this morning. You pull up behind another car at a traffic light, and the light turns green, and the driver in front of you is looking down. Probably he or she is praying, right? And a friend of mine who is much more patient than I am said that when that happens to her, she counts. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003, and then she blows the horn. And if the car still doesn't move, then she blows the horn again, longer, until that driver finally gets away. We don't like to wait. We pick up fast food at the drive-thru and prepare our meals in a microwave. We take medicine that promises fast relief. And how many commercials have we seen already this year about weight loss programs that will help us lose pounds instantly? We don't like to wait. And we don't like to wait when we look at our circumstances that we feel we want to see change. We look at our world, we ask, how long, oh Lord? I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my healing to come. I'm waiting for my wayward child to come home. I'm waiting for peace. Peace in my household. Peace in the world. Peace in my heart. We don't like to wait. Here's the thing. God's time is not like our time. God is eternal, and we look at things from a different perspective. But as we learn to wait on God, there are blessings for us. In our waiting, we experience the blessing of God's presence, the blessing of God's care, the blessing of God's wisdom and God's strength. Micah the prophet longed for God's promises to be fulfilled, but he had learned the lesson of waiting. He declared in chapter 7 that as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Here's something to remember. While I'm waiting, God is working. A lot of times we think while we're waiting, nothing's happening, but God is already at work. Behind the scenes, often in ways we can't see it. Being poor in spirit means that I trust God. God is faithful. And I'll wait. I'll look to the Lord. I depend on God's wisdom. I depend on God's strength. I depend on God's timing. And then letter D, I depend on God's defense, not mine. I depend on God's defense, not my own. You know, there are always people in life that misunderstand us. Even in our closest relationships, the people that we love the most, sometimes we have differences with because we live in a fallen world. And when we're misunderstood, we have a tendency to want to defend ourselves. When we're criticized, we want to criticize back. When a friend on Facebook expresses some opinion that we find just outrageous, we want to post a critical response. When someone impatient pulls up behind us at the traffic light and we're praying and they blow the horn, we want to blow the horn back, or worse. But Jesus says, don't do it. Trust God. In fact, we are most like Jesus when we are able to respond with silence. In the face of unfair criticism, Jesus stayed silent. People in the early church, under attack for following Jesus, were instructed by the Apostle Peter in this way. When Jesus was abused, he wrote, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. And King David, constantly misunderstood and always under attack, said, for God alone, my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. David says, God has my back. God is my great defender. And what God wants, in these times in which we live, what God wants is a generation of people like David. Men and women who humbly depend on God's defense and say, I'm going to do the right thing. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of me because I'm living for an audience of one. Fearless people who live totally dependent on God. When you are poor in spirit, you're saying, God, I'm depending on you. I'm depending on your wisdom, your strength, your timing. I'm depending on you. I know you're at work, even to resolve this difference. And then there's one more way, and we could probably list several more, but one more to lift up this morning. I depend on God's wealth, not my own. I depend on God's wealth. You know, we just came through the season of giving. And with all the advertising and whatnot, we recognize that we live in a world that looks for happiness in material things. And living in this world, we put our trust in bank accounts, in jobs, in investments. We look for happiness by storing up treasures on earth. Now we know that God blesses us with material things, and that money can be used for good purposes. But if we depend on our wealth for our happiness, we're on shaky ground. To be truly happy, we need to depend on that which we cannot lose, and that is the love of grace of the eternal God. The Apostle Paul knew this. Writing from a prison in Rome to Christians in Philippi, he said, and my God will satisfy every need of yours according to what? His riches and glory in Jesus Christ. He understood that being poor in spirit meant humbly depending on God's riches and not his own. Now as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper today, I invite you to join with me in making a New Year's resolution. A resolution for 2020. And I'd like to call it a declaration of dependence. I am totally depending on God. Let's say that together. I am totally depending on God. Will you resolve this year to be poor in spirit? To humbly depend on God for everything? To humbly depend on God's wisdom, God's strength, God's timing, God's defense, God's will. To humbly depend on God from day to day for everything. Let's follow the instruction that we heard earlier in this service from Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Happy are those who humbly depend on God, for theirs